Moved
Good
away.
afternoon, everyone. It's 2 o'clock. I'll call a meeting to order of the Select Committee on Public Safety and acknowledge that we're holding this meeting on the traditional territory of the Coast Salish people, in particular our Qualicum First Nation. I'd like to ask for a motion to adopt the agenda.
Chair,
Tuna. McKay Dunn?
Yes.
You move it?
I would like to move amendment to the agenda.
Okay, which is?
I'd like to talk about an issue to include that the council directs staff to install an outdoor convex traffic mirror on the blind spot of Georgia Drive. It's a narrow connector road linking 19A and the 300 block of Judges Road.
Which road? 19A and?
And Judges Row, the 300 block.
Okay. All right. I'll put it after what it says for speed bumps.
Okay.
So I'll put a mirror. I'll just put mirror, and then I'll let you speak to it.
All
Anything
right.
else?
No.
All right. Then
Yes?
May I ask if we can add a discussion around Dr. Faulkner, speaking on the EMF radiation and safety concerns of cell towers?
You want to read that letter that you mentioned?
Yes, I can either do it now or during the Qualicum Woods time, whichever is best for you.
Sure. I'll put it on the agenda after the mayor.
Okay. Okay.
Anything else? Then the agenda is adopted as amended by consent. The minutes. Yeah. Have you had a chance to read the minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Any errors or omissions with the minutes? And the minutes are approved by consent. We have the recommendations from council regarding the age-friendly interpretation plan, and it's been a while. Any further thoughts, comments? And I'll ask Count Mr. Weir to speak to it as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tunis. I think the age-friendly transportation plan got bumped off of quite a few council agendas and was finalized a while ago and referred to the committee for comments before final adoption by council. So I think it's been circulated to everybody. Everybody's hopefully had a chance to look at it. So we were looking for any input from the committee that we might be taking back to council.
So anyone like to speak on this? All right, then we'll move
Carol,
on to...
just a Sorry? Second. I think Carol had a question at this point.
Todd, was that to do with the Hall Road?
Yeah, the Age-Friendly Transportation Committee.
Okay. Do you have that? Would it be okay if Todd speaks to that because he's familiar with it?
Sure.
Okay, I was at the last meeting as the representative on Carol's behalf, and so I'll speak to it now, I guess. Prior to the last meeting, a local resident, Lisa Wallace, raised the issue of speeding along the Treed corridor of Highway 19A between Hall Road and Village Way and the related safety, especially in the area of Milner Gardens. She pointed out as an example during the Christmas season, cars park on both sides of the roadway near Milner, and people cross unaided by a crosswalk in the dark. We were told this would be addressed in the age-friendly transport plan report. And although it is in the area mentioned in the report around flashing light crosswalks and recommended two locations, and you'll see it on page 12 of the report. I won't read the extract, but you can find it there. It mentions that they recommend locations at Hall Road and at Milner Gardens or Jupiter Drive, they call it. They scored in the middle of the table for Hall Road location and towards the bottom quarter of the table for the Milner location as future projects. We have an update. Can we have an update and timeline on the implementation of these flashing light crosswalks?
Sure. Thank you. Mr. Weir, would you like to address that?
Well, we approach ICBC to at least partially fund these projects, and we generally stop at the start at the top of the list. That, you know, it is the reason for the existence of the list is to try and help council prioritize projects and direct available funding to the highest priority scoring projects. So if they're in the middle or the bottom, I would say that they're not on any immediate financial plan of council. However, having said that, we do regularly review the age-friendly transportation plan and feed in any new information that may affect ratings. And we would intend to be doing that in 2021 by our current schedule.
Okay. And when we do our financial planning, which will start soon, I will draw attention to this this page 12 on our age-friendly traffic plan and put some funding to it, so it won't be forgotten. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you, Mr. Weir. And just one note of thanks. The flashing light crosswalk has been installed on Qualicum Road and Fern Road, and it's going to greatly improve the user-friendly safety in the area. So thank you for that.
Well, thank ICBC as well.
Okay. Any further comments regarding the age-friendly study? Okay, we'll move on to the speed bumps. And there was a package that we got from, I guess it was partly written by you, Doug, about the speed humps and also crosswalks on Arbutus. I gave Mr. Weir a heads up on the paving is actually happening right now on that path from Arbutus to along Hoy Lake Road. And when that happens, I expect more people wanting to use bikes and walking. And so, Bob, can you fill us in on what the plans are for crosswalks in that area?
Okay, so speaking to the crosswalks on Arbutus first, all that trail construction has to abide by the regulations set down by the Island Corridor Foundation. That means that we cannot have a crosswalk within about, I think it's 25 or 30 meters of the center line of the railway. So that dictates that if we do not want to go to a controlled crossing, which we could never justify the cost of a controlled crossing on Arbutus, given zero traffic on the railway, it means that we have to put the crosswalk on the north side of Hoy Lake Road, which does correspond with the outlet of the Museum Trail, so we think that's a reasonable location. And then we will cross Hoy Lake and get to the start of the new paved pathway, which is on the south side. It will mean that we'll need to do some widening on the east side of Arbutus to make safe and comfortable access from the end of Harlech down to that point of crossing. And so that's our engineered route, although, you know, I think we're not blind to the fact that people will just choose to use whatever is the most convenient point from A to B. However, we must, in engineering and building it, we must stick within the regulations of the Island Corridor. So those are the plans as they currently sit.
Great. Thanks a lot, Bob. Any other comments about this particular item? Anyone? All right. The mayor, Carol.
Did you want to talk about the speed bumps, Tunis?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, thank you.
So if I recall the issue when it was brought up at council and referred to the committee, it was specifically in request to changing the crosswalk at the bottom of Bay Street across 19A and perhaps other crossing locations of 19A into raised crosswalks or speed humps. So there is a section in the age-friendly transportation plan that speaks to speed humps, speed bumps, speed tables. And it's under the traffic calming section. I mean, certainly anybody can refer to it. We revised the text that's in there and added to it a little bit. And I have it available as just a shorter document that I can email around to everybody if they would like to review it. But it talks to the locations where they are appropriate and not appropriate. And the one application where they're not appropriate is on major arterials, which the Highway 19A would be one, or major collectors, or routes used principally by emergency response vehicles. So those are the recommended prohibitions. So as far as the ones on 19A, we would be recommending to council that they not be turned into raised crosswalks, and we would pursue some other means of traffic calming along there, such as we are currently pursuing with the extension of the protected pedestrian walkway and multi-use pathway through there. So we can, I mean, we can certainly consider other locations in town. Given those kind of guidelines, the places where people are asking for them, they're not really appropriate. I think the locations where we're having the most speed complaints are on collectors and materials, such as 19A, such as the Crescent. Hey, so that's just a quick reference to Council.
Sure. So, Bob, we've mentioned four locations, one at Hall Road, one at Juniper Cross at Milner, one at the bottom of Bay Street, and I would assume one once the Rodway Trail is in to cross that area so people can go along to the beach to the waterfront park. So if we had pedestrian controlled light controls for pedestrian to cross, like you just did on Qualicum Road, I think that would go a long way with calming traffic. People do slow down. I go down the beach almost every night, and I use that light at the bottom of Bay Street, and people see that flashing light and they do slow down. So if we had four of those in the area we just talked about, I think that will help at some point.
Yes. So we continue to approach ICBC to partially fund those. Of course, they can be funded by the town as well. I spoke with the representative of our representative of ICBC this morning. She has a little mad money left from this fiscal year, so I'm going to get another request into her for at least one of these locations, and if not more, and then we can make additional applications for next year's financial plan. So okay. I think the one that I would be asking for first would be the one at the bottom of Rodway Trail, because that is a major commuter trail that feeds to the waterfront, and it also would service a lot of cross 19A pedestrian traffic that happens at the Shady Rest. So I think that's probably that might be recommended as a priority over some of the others.
Yeah. Okay. How much does one cost anyway, Bob?
They range. I mean, it depends on the specifics of the location. They're about $15,000. The one at on the Dolly Mount Trail was more expensive and more difficult because the presence of all the tree cover does not allow us to put in the simpler, more inexpensive solar-powered kind that just sort of talk to each other through Bluetooth. We had to hardwire that one. We had to get a service drop from Hydro and hardwire it under the roadway to get power over to the other light. So that was a little trickier, but it's also more reliable because I don't know if you'll notice, but some of the older ones can be set off just by the Bluetooth that's in vehicles passing by. You can just see like a modern kind of SUV drive by the thing, and all of a sudden, you know, the lights light up. Because
okay, now I know why my car does that.
They communicate. What the solar powered ones communicate one side to the other through that Bluetooth that can be at the same frequency as some cars.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask council for support if you do that onto a Rodway Trail to have one at least at Juniper, because I think going to Milner Gardens at that time of year and in the summer as well for slowing down traffic would be a good thing to have by next spring. Anyway, that's all for the speed humps. Okay. Mayor, Carol.
Doreen, actually.
Doreen, sorry, that was Doreen who did that. Yes.
Yes. thank you, Chair Tunin. Now, the concern is it's, I'll just show you a picture here. I just sent it to Bernadette. I don't know if you can see it. Probably.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yes. So it's a road that it's called Georgia and it angles off 19A. And there's quite a turn to it. And the road is really only designed for one car going up or down. It's not really for two cars passing. And just over this summer, it has just gotten worse. And I've seen almost some near hits with a dump truck going down really fast and then someone trying to come up. And they both had to screech their brakes. And then I've seen a lady walking, you know, with a baby buggy right up the middle of it. They don't think that there's another car that's going to come down. So I was wondering if there was any way, it's a blind spot, and I toot my horn, but most people don't, and then they have their radio on and they don't hear your horn tooting. So it's a safety both for other cars and for passengers. So I would, as I said before, I'd like that council direct staff to install this outdoor convex traffic mirror at the blind spot on Georgia Drive and a narrow connector road linking 19A and the 300 block of Judges Row. And I've checked on Amazon. They cost $352 US. So
okay, could I have a seconder for that motion?
Yes.
Will someone second that motion?
Yes, I'll second it.
Thank you. Thank you. So we have a motion to request staff to look into getting a mirror on that location. Bob, did you get the location?
Yes, I know the location.
Okay. So we'll any further discussion on that particular item? All right. Thank you for bringing this forward, Doreen, and so we will look into it.
Thank you very much.
And I'm going to call the question on the motion. All in favor? Any opposed? Seeing none opposed, it's carried. Thank you. Carol, your letter.
Thank you. For those of you who see Ace Dash, that's my husband Fred's, Carol Dow, just to alleviate that confusion. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Spoken to some of you how the EMF radiation is certainly a safety community health issue concern, and we're concerned for the well-being of our community. I am bringing forward Dr. Faulkner's letter because the Qualicum Beach Council did not grant an opportunity to hear from Dr. Faulkner and Dr. Klein or any of our delegation with a presentation. We were turned down 4 times. Council, and council went ahead to vote August 19th supporting the cell tower. So this is the letter. It's from Dr. Faulkner, and he is saying, attention mayor and council, Qualicum Beach, regarding the proposed cell phone tower in Qualicum. My name is Dr. Stephen Faulkner, and I hold the degree of MBCHB from the University of Otago, New Zealand, 1978. I was in hospital family practice in the Cowichan Valley for over 35 years with a special interest in chronic illness and complementary and integrated treatments, which continues to this day. To preface my background more broadly, I am not a conspiracy theorist. I do recommend vaccinations and receive annual flu shots myself. I do not subscribe to the theory that 5G electromagnetic radiation caused the coronavirus in Wuhan, China. I have no conflict interest or involvement with the telecommunications industry, either for or against this proposed tower. I will limit my discussion to the adverse health effects of microwave radiation. Numerous studies have conclusively demonstrated that chronic exposure to non-ionizing microwave radiation is equal to the effects of long-term exposure to mercury and asbestos or to other class 2B carcinogens. Two kinds of cancer are particularly documented as being associated with glioblastoma multiforme and acoustic neuroma, both brain tumors. The incidence of cancers is noted to increase the closer populations are living in a cell phone tower. The phenomenon is called cancer cluster and well worthwhile Googling. Microwave radiation passes through buildings and the human skull and suppresses the synthesis of the powerful natural occurring antioxidant and anti-cancer hormone melatonin in our brains while we sleep at night. The effect of MR is much greater on the unborn fetus, infants, young children, and those who are electromagnetically sensitive. I'm nearing the end of this. Fetus, because of the rapidly and actively dividing nervous tissue occurring during embryogenesis. That's one point. The next is the infant because of the undeveloped skull thickness and increased depth of brain penetration. The next point, the chronically ill because their ability to tolerate added stressors for any reason is already compromised. And he's saying Seed Detoxify for Life by Dr. John Klein. And the last point here is there is a percentage of the population, 3 to 5%, who are sensitive to MR and go to extraordinary lengths to avoid exposure by moving to remote or shadow zone locations. Code level 6, that's called safety code 6, it's referred to. This is the main area of weakness in the arguments put forward by the telecommunications industry in their defense of MR and cell phone towers, and the reason that Qualcomm Council decided to refuse input from two medical doctors. Code level 6 is woefully inadequate as a guideline for the protection of citizens living close to cell towers. The International Commission on Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection, which sets the standards used by Canada, is heavily biased by physician members who work on behalf of the telecommunications industry, much like the smoking industry was in the 1960s. The levels set by this organization that I've just named are designed to limit thermal effects, that's physical heating of human tissue, rather than to limit biological, that's intracellular disruption effects. There is nothing safe about safety code 6. Its name belies its true harm. I would encourage mayor and council to turn down this cell tower as Coombs and Thetis Island have recently done and protect the long-term health of your citizens. Respectfully submitted, Dr. Stephen Faulkner. And I would just like to note that the RDN back in February of this year did give a delegation, which included the doctors, the opportunity to speak and then voted against the cell tower proposal at Coombs and Thetis Island. And the Coombs was unanimously voted down except for one vote. Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion that this Public Safety Committee recommend that the council does accept the Qualcomm Beach staff's recommendation for a public hearing to be held at the next Qualcomm Beach council meeting.
Okay, if I could have a seconder for that.
Yes.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Further discussion? All in favor? Say aye, then I can hear because I can only see
you. Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed, say aye. Anybody opposed, say nay?
Nay.
Nay.
One nay? Two nays? Okay, it carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, normally at this point I would go around the table, but we don't have a table, but I'll just ask if anybody else would like to add something from their perspective or their group.
Yeah, I would like to if that's possible.
Go ahead.
Just state your
name and address, please.
Okay, will do. My name is Ken Sherburn. I'm the team leader for Oceanside Community Safety.
Yeah.
My portfolio is Citizens on Patrol and Speedwatch.
Okay, great.
So I'm the one that gets the troops out there and organizes them and makes sure they have all their equipment and so on and so forth. A couple of things I just want to touch on that the group may not know is that we've had a change of leadership within our organization. So Mr. Garland is no longer our director. So Mike Garland is still with us as a regular member, but he's no longer the director.
Okay.
It's been taken over currently by the chair, John Bishop. And John advises me that they are looking for a new director currently. And I think one of the last candidate interviews went today.
Okay.
They're looking to get a new director in, I'm hoping, sometime this month, so that I would recommend that our director attend these meetings going forward.
Certainly.
So hopefully that'll come to fruition very soon. Also, all our OCSB offices are still closed due to COVID-19. So we don't have anybody working the phones or information to the public. Just to let you know that we have once again commenced our Citizens on Patrol and our Speedwatch functions. We've been shut down since the middle of March as per the request from the RCMP. So we adhered to that, but now we're back up and running again. We have a few brave citizens that are out there slogging through the trenches regardless of COVID. But we have probably the majority of our people are, I would say, are vulnerable persons, you know, between 60 and 85 kind of thing. And a lot of them have chosen, and which is their right. And I think that's great that they're holding back to becoming involved because of it. So once things change, hopefully we'll get more participation. But having said that, last month we had a great month. Great stats. We also have safety protocols put in place for both our citizens on patrol and our speed watch personnel. We have gloves, face masks, sprays. We wipe down our equipment. We keep our social distancing. So, like I say, there are people that are out there that are doing it. So that's great. And last but not least, our back to school speed watch begins tomorrow. Now, as I indicated, our numbers are down somewhat, but we will be hitting Arrowview School. We will also be at Oceanside and sporadically at Springwood down on Despard. So, yeah, we're back at it tomorrow. So that's all the news I've got.
Good. Thank you. I saw you at College Road the other day, the Speed Watch group sitting there.
Yeah, well, we had I think it was eight speed watches last month. We had 12 patrols, foot and bike patrols as well. We've had, I think it's around 5,000 or 6,000 cars we monitored for speed. We've done so much public interaction and face-to-face meet and greets.
How did they do as far as speeding? What was the percentage you thought was over the speed limit, and roughly by how much? Do you have that stat?
Well, I just finished the stat, so I can kind of give it to you off the top of my head. And my stats, I actually have to send them to Mr. Weir as we speak. But
well, if you send it to Mr. Weir, then we'll get them that way. That'll be better.
Yeah, but just some of the rural areas like Spider Lake and Horn Lake Road, they're giving her out there. They're like 30 and 40, sometimes 50 kilometers over the limit.
Wow.
But some of the local areas that we, you know, we call them duck ponds that we usually sit at, they're starting to learn. One of the, I guess, problem spots for me is 19A and Hemsworth.
Yes,
it's that's 50, where I saw you. So you're going from 70 down to 50, and because it's kind of around the curve and down the hill, we get speeds in the 80s.
Wow.
Coming through there. So I'm going to try and push to have uniform RCMP members run radar there because,
yeah.
Being a former and retired policeman, boy, I wish I had that power because I'd be all over them. But anyway, it is what it is. We're doing what we can. And so if you have any concerns about speeding or areas that you want us to look at, you know, just send them my way.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it because that is a spot where, Keith Smith always, because he lives right there, he often participates. The other area lately is Arbutus.
Yes.
And with the new path coming in, there will be more people crossing with their scooters, with their bicycles, walking, and a lot more people are bicycling. And from what I've seen over there over this past summer, partly because of COVID, I think. But anyway, there's a lot more people bicycling and cars don't always see them, it seems. That seems like when you're on a bicycle, you become invisible. So maybe in that area along Arbutus, if you could, that would really be appreciated.
Arbutus and 19A?
Not so much Arbutus 19A, because Arbutus doesn't go down 19A, but between the railway track and Rupert Road.
Okay, Rupert, yeah. Okay.
There's a straight stretch as you come up to First Avenue.
Okay.
And then there's a downhill grade, almost like what you talked about with Hemsworth, where people go down the hill towards the railway.
Yep.
And most people don't even put their brake lights on when they go to the stop sign of the railway crossing. Mm-hmm. So that may be a good spot to raise some awareness and education.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else would like to speak at this point? Yes?
Yes.
Doreen?
Yes.
Doreen, go ahead.
Doreen Mackay Dunn from 2617 Island Highway West in Qualicum Beach. And from the Qualicum Beach Residents Association, our main concern is speeding concerns that we hear from our residents, especially 19A, as we discussed, when it drops to 50 at Hemsworth. And then we've caught, an officer caught someone going 140 in front of our place.
Wow.
And he actually got a ticket. Mm-hmm. And then also we've noticed increased speeding around the Crescent and then across onto from East Crescent to West Crescent. And then also, of course, the speeding on Arbutus like we were talking about. And they just seem to be taking a shortcut to get into town. We've almost been hit walking in front of the Heritage Woods because they come around that corner so fast.
Mm.
So it's every area.
In the tree.
Yeah. And also a safety issue we've noticed is maybe Bob Weir could deal with this. There's a tree that right is near the corner of 19A and East Crescent, and it's overgrown. So when cars try to make a left or a right onto 19A off East Crescent, you can't see. You have to put your car quite a ways out to, 'cause the sight line, the tree's growing so much.
So is that tree on the south side or the north side of the highway? The south side?
The south side.
And yeah. East?
Yeah.
East of?
West. West.
Where so the golf course corner.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, we'll have a look at that.
Thank you so much.
Just an interesting anecdote about speeding on the Crescent. At our last Oceanside Traffic Safety meeting with the RCMP and ICBC, the officer was relating stopping a 90-year-old lady doing over 90 kilometers an hour on the Crescent heading to town.
Yes.
Wow. She had no time to lose, Bob.
No. Yeah. Oh, may I, Chair, just make one more comment? Is it possible for the town to reduce the speed limit to at least 50 going in front of Milner's and then drop to 40 through the town, or 30 even, till Laburnum?
Say that again, Doreen?
To take the speed, like in front of Milner's, from 50 and then drop it to 40 instead of 50 at Hemsworth, and then reduce it further as we go in front of like the Shell station, put it to 30 across until you get to Laburnum even.
Yes.
Okay. I think I would like to see a reduction in speed limit, especially in the summertime. All along the waterfront, it's like our park.
Mm-hmm.
And especially this year, with so many people parking on both sides, and they pop out kids with their boards and their whatever they bring to the beach, that's a scary situation. And former councillor Mike Wansing and I one time went from 50 to 40 from the Qualicum Beach Inn to West Crescent on the Island Highway, and it took us exactly 1 minute longer to go from 50 to 40. So it's not a huge inconvenience. Mm-hmm. To slow traffic down at Milner, Bob, what do you think of that?
Well, again, I think we've had the experience of trying to re-sign certain sections where you wish people would change the behavior. However, if the roadway is conducive to a higher speed and what they call the 85th percentile wants to travel at a higher speed, you won't get the people conforming to the posted speed without enforcement by the RCMP. And the RCMP, if they do not think that it is appropriately signed, will not do the enforcement. They will concentrate on other areas where they think it's more appropriate. So you have to be careful about what you think you're going to gain by lowering speeds. Signs don't stop anybody's behavior. I think we're like longer term looking at the waterfront. I think we're better off in the waterfront master plan to try and engineer in like traffic calming measures along that whole thing, such as the roundabout at the bottom of 19A and Memorial. I think that will be a beautiful traffic calming element to introduce people from the highway speeds that they've been carrying to what's appropriate at the waterfront. I think as we redesign the waterfront, we can make it so that people will choose to go in the slower traffic. But just by changing signs, you're not going to change behavior. And if the RCMP don't think it's appropriate, they're not going to enforce it. So I think it's we just have to be careful about what we think we're gaining by doing something.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's appropriate to try and put it on the back of the RCMP if the roadway configuration, you know, makes people think that they should be going 50, 60, or 70, the 85th percentile is going to represent that speed.
Mr. Chair, may I make a comment? Because we crossed that right where you're talking about, Doreen, quite often. And we have found, we have to be so careful because the cars are whipping through there very fast. It's the beginning of the entrance of seeing the water as you're entering Qualicum Beach from that side. Now, yes. You would think they'd slow down a bit, but it's they're just roaring at a highway speed, like you're saying, Bob. But it just seems there should be some way to slow it down. We're coming out of Qualicum Woods. You know, we're talking about Hall Road there. And Hemsworth, okay, but especially Hall. And, you know, I just have to tell you, we have to double and triple look because they come so fast. You think you're clear and wow, there they are. And it's a concern. And I've seen some really near misses there.
Yes. And I thought maybe, Bob, just a sign just to say that a down to 50 even before you hit Memorial there.
Well, it is posted. As soon as you're coming west or north, I guess, on the Island Highway, as soon as you come around the curve, it's posted from 70 down to 50. It's posted actually twice, I think.
Yes, and so, in oversized signage.
Yes, they're huge. So you can't miss them.
Well, no, I noticed
the best
that.
Best thing would be enforcement, and as you mentioned, Mrs. Shelburne is having uniformed police officers from time to time in that area, different times, different driveways, and see if we can nab some of these people. If they're going that fast, that's life-threatening.
Well, as a former policeman that used to run radar, I'm not going to sit in a 40 zone and catch somebody doing 51, okay, because it's not worth my time. And it just upsets people. But if I can catch somebody doing 85 in a 40 or a 90 in a 50,
yeah,
now we're talking. Now it's like, and Hemsworth is that spot.
Okay.
You know, and it's anybody and everybody that's coming through there at high speed. So,
okay. I'll raise this during the council meeting and ask our staff and our mayor to communicate with the RCMP to beef up the enforcement in that particular area.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else from around the table?
Barry Blay with Eagle Crest Residents Association. Good to see everyone. I'm taking Pat James's place. He stepped down from the board of directors, and so I've stepped up to get involved in the emergency preparedness and safety role for the community.
Yeah.
I know we've touched on a few of the subjects that are certainly concerned for our neighborhood, the cell tower being one, the roundabout, and of course going in hand with that is speed calming impacts that a roundabout would have there. I personally, and I'm sure others have, trying to cross over Highway 19A, have actually put my vehicle in park waiting for my turn to get across. So it's not going to get any easier or lighter, I think, as they continue to build houses in that neighborhood down by the golf course clubhouse. There'll be more traffic to deal with out of that intersection. But one of the things that came up recently is we could still face a major disaster in our region. And the idea of an earthquake and being prepared was all fine and well. But one of the things I struggled with was trying to find information on evacuation centers. There didn't seem to be a whole lot of information. So basically, your house is no longer inhabitable and you've got to be evacuated from your neighborhood. There's no communication. There's no power. There's no gas. There's nothing. There's no water. So where do you go? And if somebody's not in that household at that time, where do they go? And I understand that, yes, you can remain sheltered in your home until absolutely necessary to leave, but I was unable to find a whole lot of information to share with the people of Eagle Crest with regards to evacuation centers. So I don't know if anybody else has got the same concern. However, if you do, or if you know of some location where I can get that information, that'd be great.
I think Barry, and thanks for joining us and filling in for Pat. We have a guy who lives actually in your neck of the woods, Rob Damon, who is really well versed in evacuation situations. Did a great job last year. It wasn't so much about people who lived in Qualicum Beach who needed an evacuation center, but people in the other areas. And him and his group of volunteers did a super job in taking care of these people. So if you want to call Rob Damon and ask him to come to one of your board meetings and just address your concerns, it would be probably the most effective way.
All right. Good advisement. Thank you.
If I may add, we've had Rob come to speak to us, and he is wonderful in describing. I had exactly that same question when I was president here of the Qualicum Woods Residents Association. What do we do, some 500 homes here? And he basically talked to us about this idea that we really need to work together in teams on our block with our neighbors to take care of each other. He did say there is the Qualicum Beach, our by the swimming pool, our convention center.
Civic Center.
Yes. But we might not be able to get to it. There might be power down. There might be any number of things on the street where you couldn't get out. And we were really concerned. We have five ways out of Qualicum Woods. But if we need to, I said a fire, especially because, you know, we have so many trees around us. And we talked about the idea of just being able to get to the water if we needed to in a real severe situation. But Rob is just excellent. I just can't say enough. We tried to even adopt him.
Thanks, Carol. So does that answer your question, Barry?
Yeah, it gives me a place to go look, and I will get a hold of Rob. I do have him on my list to contact, so I'll follow okay. through on that. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Anything else? All right. Well, thank you for participating. I'll follow up with some of these comments and questions during our next council meeting. And Mr. Weir will help me try and address some of these issues during the council meeting. So thank you very much. Have a safe rest of your day. And hopefully we'll talk again soon. I call for a motion to adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Thank you, Shelburne and Doreen. Thank you, everybody. Meeting is adjourned.